You're listening to In Defense with Dr. R.G. Willard, a Christian apologetics podcast equipping you to give a defense for the hope that is in you and to speak truth in Jesus' name. On today's episode, Dr. Willard will introduce the Kalam cosmological argument and discuss the philosophical history that led to its development.
Hello, you are listening to In Defense with me, Dr. R.G. Willard, a Christian apologetic podcast bringing you an appeal and defense of the Christian faith. Now, as I was thinking of what I wanted to start off doing this brand new podcast with you, I could think of no better place to start than to give you my favorite argument for God's existence. It is known as the Kalam cosmological argument. Now, before I dive into this with you, I want to give you guys just a quick overview of the series that we will be doing on the Kalam cosmological argument. It will be roughly six parts, roughly 20 minutes each of each part. The first episode will be a quick introduction as well as a quick historical background of this argument. The second episode will help you guys better understand what makes a good argument. We're going to be tackling a few lines of reason and argumentation to help you better understand what the Kalam is and what the Kalam is not. The third episode, we're going to be diving into what is called premise one, or the first line of arguments of this Kalam cosmological argument. Episode four, we're going to be diving into the second line of argument, or known as the second premise of the Kalam. Episode five, I'm going to do a summation of everything that we have went through so far. And then in episode six, I'm going to be tackling roughly 5 to 6 common responses or objections I have heard, whether it be on YouTube or in person or on college campuses. Now, I'm excited to be starting this with you. And let's dive into the first episode. The Kalam cosmological argument has a very long historical background to it. Now, the term Kalam is the Arabic word for speech, where God sort of spoke out to all of creation. And the Kalam historically became the note a large movement within the Islamic and Arabic scholasticism roughly around 840 AD. And this movement confronted the large Greek philosophical belief that God did not create the universe out of nothing, that the Christian belief that we had God created ex nihilo is not true. And this is where the Kalam sort of went to attack this Greek philosophical challenge. Now, before I dive back into the period around 840 when it comes to the Kalam, people don't know, and it's quite interesting, when you study the history of the Kalam, there is a brilliant movement of thought even prior to 840 AD that discussed these philosophical challenges to this Greek philosophy. And there was a brilliant man named John Philoponus. He was a Christian philosopher, theologian, scientist from Alexandria. And being from Alexandria, he studied in the school of Alexandria, and most of their research was to take on Aristotle's work. Aristotle's dates are roughly 322 to 384 AD. And John Philoponus wrote a lot of commentaries and work on Aristotle's work. Now, you might ask, why is this important? Well, Aristotle held the doctrine of what is called an eternal universe. Aristotle was famous for this phrase that most of us have commonly heard, the unmoved mover, because in a very crucial sense, Aristotle believed that God did not create the world ex nihilo, the universe out of nothing. In fact, he believed that matter was eternal with God in sort of this frozen state, and God was the prime mover and got the motion going to get the kind of universe that we have today. Now, Philoponus, being a brilliant Christian thinker, held to this theological belief that God created the universe out of nothing. And before him, believe it or not, Christians just argue this on pure theological grounds. And John Philoponus came in and decided to begin one of the very first philosophical beliefs against Aristotle's belief of the eternal matter of the universe. And in his piece that he wrote called Against Proclus on the Eternity of the World, which you can actually still get today on Amazon if you want to order it, I have it in my library at my house, he focused on one of the first arguments against an actual infinity existing in the real world. And in this work, he brilliantly articulated an argument against an actual infinite amount of things and time of the universe. And this view was embraced by medieval thinkers and refined throughout history. Now, this brings us back to the idea of the Islamic period around 840 AD. And there was a few brilliant thinkers along this time, but for the time being, I want to focus on one Islamic theologian. His name was Al-Ghazali, and his dates are roughly 1058 to 1111 AD. And his work was so brilliant. He worked off of this actual work of John Philoponus against infinity. And even Islamic theologians today say his work needs to be dealt with. And he wrote a piece called The Incoherence of Philosophers, where he sort of rigorously went against this idea of an eternal world and this attacked the belief of an actual infinity. And he had two major steps in his argument. The first step was this. Al-Ghazali argued that the universe was a contingent thing. It was a contingent thing. It was not necessary. And because it was contingent, it came into existence. And if the world came into existence, therefore it had a cause of it coming into existence. And what he did in the last part of this first step, he focused on the absurdities that would happen in real life if you were not to think the universe were contingent and come into existence and existed for an infinite amount of time. And he focused on the weird things that could take place in reality if we are to believe that an actual infinity could exist in the real world. That's his first step. His second step was to argue that the cause of the world was God. Now, it's not the Christian God, but just the God in general. And what he did was, if he came to the conclusion that there was a first cause of the universe, the question is, can we derive characteristics or properties or even just information of what it means to be the first cause of all of the universe? Could it be eternal? Is there oneness, volition, power? And he focused his last part, his last step, to try to see if he can derive properties of what it would mean to be a cause of the universe. Now, this leads us to our modern day. And believe it or not, these arguments for many centuries were overlooked by Christian philosophers and theologians until around 1957, when a PhD theologian, Dr. Stuart Hackert, wrote a book called The Resurrection of Theism, where he briefly went into the medieval thinker's Kalam period of thought by Al-Ghazali. And one of his students, now Dr. William Lane Craig, sought to take this defense and create it into his PhD. And in 1979, he released it called the Kalam Cosmological Argument. He was the actual one to term this modern day argument the Kalam Cosmological Argument. Now, let me state for you what this argument actually is. And I'm going to restate how Dr. Craig formulated in the modern day defense for God's existence. So here it is. Premise one. Everything that begins to exist has a cause of its existence. Premise two, the universe began to exist. Conclusion, therefore, the universe has a cause of its existence. Let me state this again. Everything that begins to exist has a cause of its existence. The universe began to exist. Conclusion, therefore, the universe has a cause of its existence. And if this is true, Craig from Al-Ghazali asked the question, wait a minute, can we pause and think hard for a second? Can we actually derive properties and characteristics of what it means to be the first cause of the universe? If certain properties can be found, maybe eternality, personhood, volition, being spirit, if this is true and we can philosophically and scientifically derive certain characteristics and properties of what it means to be the first cause of the universe, are believers in God and Christians, theists in general, on weird grounds to think that a person and being like God actually exists. Given this argument, does it give us Christians good grounds and justification and reasons to believe that God is real? This is what this argument's going to do. And that is a quick historical background to this argument. And on the next episode that you guys can hopefully will tune in for, we're going to be diving not necessarily into the Kalam, but we're going to be diving into what makes a good argument and trying to derive what kind of argument the Kalam actually is to determine what it is and what it is not. So if you have any questions or thoughts or comments, I want to hear from you. I would love to do a series tackling your questions, or even if you want to come alongside and help financially support us in this journey to make great Christian apologists in the Columbus, Ohio region, please email me at ryan@ryanwillert.org. That's W-I-L-L-E-R-T, ryan@ryanwillert.org, or go visit the podcast page at riverradio.com. I want to say thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on In the Fence.
This podcast is a production of River Radio Ministries. You can find more podcasts like this one at riverradio.com. And if you like what you're hearing, make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening now. And be sure to tell a friend so they can listen too.